The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Nerds, Dak sending a message back to the Cowboys. ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speakers where you can hear the Max Kellerman Show, not just on ESPN Radio. Tom Brady did something, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this. I don't think anyone else could get away with it, and it wasn't the stumbling, by the way. It wasn't throwing one too many back, you know? Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
I don't understand why the Cowboys are playing games here.
But are they playing games?
But Key, if it's a difference between a fifth year or 1 year less, give this man his money.
Well, the Cowboys leave Dak out of their hype video and then claim with a straight face, oh no, there's no story here, we're just an oversight. You know, we're just trying to get everyone excited for the upcoming season and we left our franchise quarterback, you know, off the video. Dak followed the Washington football team on Instagram. That's, by the way, there's a story there. There's a story when you leave him out of the hype video. There's a story of him following the Washington football team. Heinicke, they signed him. He played decently in the playoffs. They signed him to a backup quarterback contract, $8.9 million, and I think that's over 2 years. It's a two-year deal. Or maybe it's 8-9 guaranteed, whatever it is. The point is it's backup quarterback money. They didn't pay him starting quarterback money. They could use a quarterback. Washington gets a real quarterback, there's going to be a problem. Isn't it amazing? Get rid of the old culture, bring in some new people. Ron Rivera, respected coach, you know, smart people in the front office, and just like that, you're in contention. Dak would work on a lot of teams. Any team that needs a quarterback, Dak would be a nice get. And by the way, I'm going to ask Hall of Famer Warren Moon about this in a couple of minutes. Also, about being an old, great quarterback. The reason I made the Cliff prediction about Tom Brady, I based it on Warren Moon's age. He was the oldest one to be good ever. I'm going to talk to him about that. Going to talk to him about Dak coming up. But a lot of people are like, let me just tell you where my head is. Whenever I hear a quarterback is potentially available, where would I want to see him play? And I know cap issues means it probably can't happen and all that, but I want to see Dak on the Patriots. I want to see a good, because Tom Brady, look, the drama of the NFL and of American sports in terms of barbershop talk, street corner talk, water cooler talk, you and your brother, your father, your sister, whoever it is that you argue sports with, your best friend, your colleague at work, whoever it is, the number one sports debate of the 21st century is, was it more Brady or Belichick? That was the number one debate. I mean, Jordan or LeBron, sure. But, you know, I would say the consensus is still Jordan's the GOAT. Then the younger generation, of course, prefers the guy they came up with. But Brady or Belichick, it seemed unanswerable, right? But then they split. And now, Brady put himself in a perfect situation. That team was loaded. They had a great offensive line this year. Not a good one, a great one. Top five in the league. They had a wealth of receivers that's almost embarrassing. He saw Godwin and Mike Evans and Brate. And don't forget, before he got hurt, O.J. Howard. Brate and O.J. Howard is your tight ends. Any one of those guys, any team would be like, oh, thank God we have this guy. They got two of them. Evans and Godwin at receiver. And he's like, yeah, this is really good. You know what? I'm going to add Gronk and A.B. to that. I'm going to add the greatest tight end ever and also one of the arguably three or four best wideouts who ever lived, still kind of in his prime. I'm going to add these two guys. All three levels of the defense, lights out. Think of the linebacking core. Think of the defensive front. Even the corners were playing lights out through the playoffs. He put himself in a perfect situation. But Tom Brady didn't simply make the playoffs. or win a playoff game. I mean, just winning a playoff game, it's a wash, right? You can't say he failed. He didn't just get to the conference finals, which I would have considered a very successful season had he lost in the conference final. He won the Super Bowl year one, won the Super Bowl. And Belichick's left holding the bag, right? Belichick's got a 7-9 record now. It was with a quarterback coming off a catastrophic injury who had missed the season, and Cam Newton, who was the opposite of Tom Brady in terms of style of play, who was never known as a very accurate passer. That quarterback, Cam Newton, got COVID during the year and had to miss time. The facilities had to be shut down. They couldn't practice, even though most teams couldn't practice, but they could practice less than other teams. They had no outside weapons, no receivers to speak of, the Patriots. They had defections off the defense, Hightower and Chung, top players because of COVID, who opted out before the season started. So he wasn't working with much. And he won 7 games. And by the way, a lot of wins against really good teams. If you look at the quality of the Patriots' wins, some of them were excellent. But it was still 7-9. What does Belichick do with a real quarterback? Dak is a real quarterback, and Dak is a company man. Think about the whole anthem issue with Kaepernick, how that cut across racial lines, not just social lines, right? Racial lines. Huge overlap there. Sociopolitical and racial. And he towed the company line. He's responsible to his teammates, his fans, and also the franchise. He recognized his responsibility to everyone in that moment as the face of a franchise. Dak is a leader. Dak is the kind of guy like Brady who you hear things about. I've heard this from multiple sources. When he practices with the third unit, the third stringers, he elevates them. He's the kind of guy who elevates every unit he plays with, like Brady. And Dak can do what Brady can do, not to the extent that he can, deliver the ball accurately, and also what Cam can do, he can run. He can do both. So I know it's not realistic, but I would love to see what Belichick could do with Dak, and I would love to see what Dak, who has been in a carnival on the Cowboys, so-called America's team, go to the actual America's team, Patriots, and that level of professionalism. It makes so much sense in both directions. The problem, of course, is the money doesn't work. But what if it could? That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
Tampa was good.
Anybody that says running back, bull. All right, that's Kansas City's bull. We ain't stopping.
Tom Brady having a little bit of trouble walking after he gets off the boat.
They Got Their Ring is brought to you by Macy's. Think anyone else could get away with tossing the Lombardi Trophy from boat to boat? I don't know. Maybe it's happened before, but I don't remember offhand. When he was doing it, I was like, uh-oh. I don't know. How's that going to work? Cameron Brate. Surprised it wasn't to Gronk. But Tom Brady's sea legs weren't doing too well as the Bucs celebrated their Super Bowl win. He threw some back, and he earned it, boy. Tom Brady earned it. Year one, as they keep saying, the situation couldn't have been any better. But that doesn't mean you look. Drew Brees had an excellent team top to bottom, and they were tied with the Bucs in the playoffs. They beat them twice in the regular season, but with the money on the line, Brady didn't mess up, but Drew Brees did. With the money on the line, Brady got Brees. It's why he has 7 Super Bowls and Brees has 1. Let's be honest about that. It's not a knock against Brees, as Brady's better. Better under pressure. You win the Super Bowl year one, boy. You did something. By the way, listen to Bruce Arians. This is at the Super Bowl parade. We've had to edit this heavily. Listen to Coach.
I made Tampa my home. I appreciate y'all. I want to be back. I love to be back. I love to do it again.
Your ain't going nowhere.
Tampa was good. We deserved it. We worked hard all year.
Your ain't going nowhere either.
Yeah! We ain't going no where.
We got Shaq and we got Ndamukong Suh.
And no, your ain't going nowhere either.
I ain't just saying that. I mean that. We're going to do it again. Y'all feel that?
No, you ain't going nowhere either.
That was heavily edited. That was not only Coach. That was Levante David, Chris. That was Godwin. That was Shaq Barrett and Dominican Sue. Heavily censored. By the way, a Tampa TV station was forced to cut away from Arian's speech because, boy, he started cussing up a storm on live TV. And those guys are entitled to party and to you know, loosen their tongues a bit after what they just did. They had a great Super Bowl run, starting with that Saints win, a team that had beaten them twice in the regular season, the second time worse than the first. Tie game in the fourth quarter, they came through, going up to Lambeau, beating Aaron Rodgers in an MVP year and a stacked Packers team. And then the Chiefs, who had no offensive line to speak of. I thought the Bucs should have been favored in that game as a result of that. But still, they spanked them. And Brady had every single thing you could want, but that doesn't mean you win the Super Bowl, and yet he did again. Now, the reason I made my cliff prediction when I did in 2016, and to be clear, Tom Brady's had a full Hall of Fame career since I made the cliff prediction. But I gave him 18 months at that time because I figured that'd take him through to his age 41 season. And no one had ever, in the history of football, been an excellent quarterback at the age of 41, except my next guest, Warren Moon, Hall of Fame quarterback, who joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Mr. Warren Moon.
Max, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing great, man. Nice to talk to you. It's been a while.
You too. Always love talking to you. 9-time Pro Bowler, 2-time passing yards leader, 5-time Grey Cup champ, UW football Ring of Honor, Warren Moon. Warren, I made my cliff prediction about Tom Brady, saying he's going to fall off the cliff. I gave him 18 months. That was 2 seasons worth of football at the time, because I looked at the history of football, and no quarterback was ever worth a damn, no great one, after the age of 40, except for you, and you were 41, and then the cliff came for you. Did you think Tom Brady could keep doing this, and what is the secret to longevity?
Well, I think no quarterback is taking care of his body the way that Tom Brady has. And if you look at his whole TB12 program, if you look at the way he trains in the off season, the way he trains his arm with just a quarterback training coach that he works with each and every year. I think it's Tom House who he works with.
Tom House, yep.
He just takes tremendous care of himself, and he hasn't had any major injuries in the last maybe 15 years. And then he doesn't get beat up a lot because of the way he plays. He gets the ball out of his hands. He doesn't take a lot of pounding, a lot of short throws when he was with New England. So he didn't take a pounding on his body. So for all those different reasons, and then you go to a team that he's highly motivated to go to because he kind of wants to show that he can do this thing on his own, and he has a very talented team around him. You put all that together, it makes for more longevity.
You mentioned talking to Warren Moon, the Hall of Famer, on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. You mentioned how he gets the ball out quick. I'm watching the Super Bowl, and I thought Mahomes was actually spectacular. He was pressured on 29 of 56 dropbacks, compared to 4 out of 30 for Brady. And because he had both offensive tackles out and another offensive lineman missing, they were able to get that pressure blitzing under 10% of the time, which may also be a Super Bowl record. So in other words, he's always running for his life, and no one's ever open because they don't have to send extra guys. And yet, Warren Moon, I felt that Mahomes did everything he could to evade the pass rush and still deliver the ball. After all, he threw 2 balls into the end zone that hit receivers in the face and one that hit a receiver in the hands. He can't catch the ball, too. Now, you mentioned getting the ball out quick, and that's what Brady does so well. And I've heard some criticism. Well, Mahomes was running too soon, and he wasn't getting the ball out quick enough. There was no one open, and they were coming to get him. What's he supposed to do? What is your analysis of how Mahomes played in the Super Bowl?
You know, I thought he played as well as he could under the circumstances. I thought their offensive coaching staff could have done a little bit more to help him as far as maybe max protect a little bit more, maybe a little bit more play action where they kept in, you know, 6 guys, maybe 7 guys sometime and just sent 2 or 3 guys out into the route. That's something that Tampa Bay does a lot. They'll keep their tight end a lot, like Gronkowski or Brate, and they'll block up 6 guys for Tom Brady and just send out 3 guys. So Kansas City could have done a little bit more of that just to kind of help him, but they were sending five guys out almost every time and leaving his five offensive linemen to block either those four down linemen or sometimes with a linebacker coming. So that pressure was going to be there only because they just didn't have the manpower to keep up with one of the strengths of what Tampa Bay's defense was their front four.
And by the way, he did this all with turf toe that's going to require surgery now. It's unbelievable. Like that throw he made when he was parallel to the ground and he threw a touchdown, really, was that's one of the most spectacular plays I've ever seen, and it was an incompletion. But you played once upon a time. Go ahead. Sorry, Warren.
Well, you know, Max, when a quarterback is struggling like Pat was, and I could tell after the first two series of the game, you know, I watched the game a little bit different than most people. His mechanics got sped up in the first couple of series of the ball game because of the pressure he received probably on his first three or four throws. So right there, a quarterback, he's not comfortable starting the game out. He's not going to be comfortable the rest of the game unless you do something either protection-wise or one of his guys makes a play for him to kind of change that. And nobody made a play for him as far as any of his receivers making a really difficult catch. Some guys dropped some easy balls, and then his offensive line wasn't blocking very well. So for a quarterback, you have to have somebody that kind of helps you out when you're in those pressure-type situations, and he just didn't have anybody that stepped up and made a play for him.
Appreciate the analysis, talking to the great Warren Moon, Hall of Famer. And Warren, the league has changed a lot. When you were a young man, because you are African-American and you could run, you couldn't get a job in the NFL as a quarterback, even though you were the best quarterback in the world. You had to go to play in a different league in another country in order to work your way back to the NFL. Times have changed in that respect, and quarterbacks are much more – there are many African-American quarterbacks. We're still working on coaches and GMs, but there are many quarterbacks, among them Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. And when they are elite, white or black, they are increasingly seeming to behave like NBA players, realizing, oh, wait, we have leverage here. Tom Brady chose a new team, got himself there. First, he got his backup traded, Garoppolo. Then he got himself to the Bucs as a free agent. Deshaun Watson, he's going to be dealt. He told the Texans and went public, I do not want to be here anymore. And Russell Wilson, of all people, started talking about it the other day. Obviously, this is something new in the NFL. But what is your impression of now Russell Wilson talking the way he is, which sounds like he's not satisfied in Seattle?
Well, I think Russell just wants to be protected a little bit better. I think he wants more emphasis put on the offensive line this year, maybe in free agency and through the draft. He's not getting any younger. He's not the same guy that can escape all those Houdini-type plays that he used to do when he was younger. And I think he understands that, and he's going to need more protection as he gets older going forward. So I think that's something he's just addressing. And I don't even think it's something that he came out talking about. I think he was asked those questions by different commentators, and he just answered the question truthfully, where in the past he might have deflected the question or kept it totally positive. But now he's just being a little bit more honest as far as his public persona is concerned. So that doesn't surprise me, and they do need to put a little bit more emphasis on their offensive line when you have a quarterback like him that's starting to get in, you know, more in, not so much into his prime. He's in his prime now, but there's only going to be so many more years where he has that mobility that he has right now, and he's going to have to rely on just throwing the football from the pocket.
That's really interesting. In other words, like I hadn't considered that really it's an issue of his ability to evade defensive players. He either feels is slipping or could be slipping soon. He's going to need more protection. But what's interesting to me, talking to Warren Moon on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, what's interesting to me about this is, Warren, to my eye, the offensive line in Seattle's been better the last couple of years than it was a couple of years ago. Like when they traded Max Unger for Jimmy Graham, it all fell apart. They thought they could coach average guys up and in the later rounds of the draft, and it didn't work. And then recently they started to invest a little more capital in the draft on the offensive line. And to me, that's not the issue so much anymore. They're blocking for the run pretty well. They're protecting Russell Wilson better, to my eye. He's got receivers. The issue's on the defensive side of the ball. So my interpretation is, powerful players like Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson are saying the way teams once said to players, good enough ain't good enough anymore. yes, Seattle's in contention, like, but I want better and are demanding standards from the teams that the teams have always demanded from them. But your analysis is he's worried about how long he can keep running away from these defensive players.
Yeah, that's part of it, and part of it is their defense. Their defense was absolutely horrible the first part of the season this year, but they got things turned around in the second half of the year, and they were one of the top defenses in the league the last six, seven games of the season. So that part of it, they think they have turned around. Of course, you always can add pieces to make it better, but I think offensive-wise, they have a new offensive coordinator coming in this year. That may help. I think they had a lot of injuries up front on their offensive line, which is something that's been a concern with Seattle over the last 3 or 4 years. They haven't seemed to be able to keep that same group together. And that cohesion and that chemistry in an offensive line is very, very important. And if you have guys in and out of the lineup all the time, it's going to hurt that cohesion. So that's something they need to address as well.
Warren, I'm a little bit heavy on this segment, but I would love a quick answer from you. How does it feel to have Tom Brady, the GOAT, as the guy who finally passes you as the greatest, oldest great quarterback of all time?
Well, if you're going to have somebody pass you, you wanted to be the greatest of all time to do that. And Tom has definitely proven that he is the greatest quarterback to play the game of all time. And if he's the guy that's going to pass me, more power to him. I feel honored by that.
The great Warren Moon, ladies and gentlemen. I always feel honored by your presence on this show. Appreciate it, champ. Warren Moon joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. That dude was something else. What he had to go through to get into the NFL and the way he had a 9-time Pro Bowler, play was great till he was 41 years old, till he's 42. He's great at 41. Helping you discover the road ahead, Goodyear, more driven. By the way, New York, the Nets' answer to their defensive problems may already be on the roster. Remember when I said they had to make a move? After the game last night, I'm not so sure. Anyway, here's some good news. Even with high unemployment, there's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now, and My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. Grants. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. The fix for the New York, the Brooklyn Nets. Coming up, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. By the way, hear that? That's Melly Mel, right? The message. I saw something so fresh. An old friend of mine sent it to me, and I forgot what magazine it was in or what online publication, about who was the man in hip-hop every year since its inception, basically. And Melly Mel, like, I don't remember exactly their list. It was pretty good. But when I was a kid, it went from Melly Mel to Run DMC to LL to Rakim. But Melly Mel, back in the day, oh my God, when he came out at the end of Beat Street, I almost lost my mind. Speaking of Melly Mel, New York, I think the answer to the problems on defense for the Nets is in-house. It could be. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. So the Nets win. A day after Kyrie called his team average, and they were, but it's a crazy kind of average. Like, they are one of the best offensive teams of all time and one of the worst defensive teams of all time. And so it averages out to winning about as much as you lose. But that's not like a normal average team. I mean, think of how extraordinary that is. Think of how many teams have played basketball through the years in the NBA. And they are on course to maybe be the worst defensive team ever and the best offensive team ever, right? On the same team? The same team? But the Nets responded after Kyrie said that and after Steve Nash challenged DeAndre Jordan on defense. They beat the Pacers convincingly with no KD. Remember, I spent a lot of yesterday talking about how top-heavy the Nets were, and they need their guys, especially their best player, to win because they don't have any margin for error because they can't play defense. They have to outscore everyone. A lot of offense on that squad, but the defense is what's concerning. And what have I been saying? Dinwiddie gets hurt. Now they're a little thinned out. They don't have a playmaker that they had. And they're like, okay, the answer to this, another guard along with Kyrie, the answer to this is to get even more top-heavy. KD, Kyrie, and now that it's not, you know, LeVert and Jared Allen and Dinwiddie, let's turn Jared Allen and LeVert and draft picks into James Harden. Now we got three all-time great playmakers. Not only can they get their shot as well as anyone who ever lived, basically, all three guys, they can also score it basically as efficiently from any spot on the floor as anyone who ever lived, all three guys. It's ridiculous. And they can pass the ball. But other than KD, none of them are defenders. Harden's not a terrible defender. His reputation, he's worked hard on his defense. And Kyrie can be a good defender when he chooses. He just frequently chooses not to play defense. But what it was adding up to, especially in this COVID year, where you can't really practice the same way. Defense, not just hustle, it's communication too. You can't really practice the same way, is they were just awful on defense. Plus, their coach is Steve Nash, and assistant coach is Mike D'Antoni. Where's the defensive focus and emphasis? Now, when you play Jeff Green at the four or the five, you're not getting defensive boards. So even if you have a decent defensive sequence, which they don't have too many of, the other team gets the rebound, they do it all again. Now, you're not going to stop them again if you're not a good defensive team. I've kept saying they're going to have to get someone to replace Jared Allen in terms of a defensive presence who can grab you those boards. But what happened yesterday? No KD, but at DeAndre Jordan stepped to the plate. He stepped up. DeAndre Jordan guarded Miles Turner, who's a very good player, kept him to virtually nothing, and he was in the flow of the offense, DeAndre, I don't know, 12 or 13 points, but also like 12 or 13 boards. But Miles Turner didn't get anything. DeAndre was playing defense as he once did. He hasn't always been the most heady defensive player, but he is a physical presence on defense. And when he has a good defensive game, it really makes a difference. The problem with DeAndre is to me, if you play him more than 15, 18 minutes a game, he hurts you in certain other ways and then doesn't play defense as intensely all the time as he should. And so much more than that, he's an inferior player to a lot of guys who get more minutes. But if he can do what he did yesterday, look what a difference it made on the defensive end. Look what a difference. He makes up for mistakes. He blocks shots. He alters shots. He's in the heads of the opposing offense. No, if DeAndre Jordan could play like that, the Nets roster as is, I've argued it on First Take today. He's actually the key player on this roster. If they don't make a deal, he's the key player on this roster. You know what you're getting from the big three. Joe Harris also going to shoot the lights out. You know that. Jeff Green can play the four. You really shouldn't be playing him at the five. He should be in the second unit playing the four. If DeAndre Jordan can do what he did yesterday on defense, then the Nets, as is, are going to the finals. Here's James Harden on what it's going to take to improve defensively.
Defense is not just a one man thing. You got to be five guys locked in on the same page and making sure you accomplish the same thing and know your personnel. So as a leader, one of the leaders of this team, I got to do a better job of communicating, and I will be.
Yeah, Harden, I just got to say, Harden, my beef with Harden was always that he choked under pressure, period. I'm not going to mince words, but not ever that he was a selfish player. As people say, oh, he just wants to dribble and wait till the last second to pass. Because on the teams in which he played in Houston, the team was best served when he averaged 35 points. But I always thought Harden was a team player. He'll do what the team needs. And this team needs him to shoot less and play make more for his teammates. And that's exactly what he's been doing. He's averaging fewer third points on the team. One of the greatest scorers who ever lived. KD's averaging more. Kyrie's averaging more. I don't see Harden complaining. I hear Harden not only not complaining, I see him with double-digit assists every night. And then after the game, talking about how he needs to be better on defense. My beef with Harden was never that he is a selfish player. He's not. James Harden's a team player who just needs to get more comfortable taking the big shot. What's that I hear? Someone on the staff thinks the monkeys sound just like the Beatles? What about the animals? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Axe Max is next. Brendan's like, oh, he knows about the animals? That's right, Brendan. I watch Scorsese films. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Axe Max next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. ESPN Radio and the Undefeated, celebrating Black history always.
Lift every voice and sing.
On April 13, 1997, Tiger Woods made history in Augusta, Georgia. The 21-year-old golf prodigy became the youngest and first non-white player to win the Masters. A record TV audience of approximately 44 million saw Tiger win his first major championship. Tiger would end his victory by sharing a passionate hug with his father, Earl.
Black history always, the Undefeated, and ESPN Radio.
That's the Animals, B, right there, Raj. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Animals were great. I mean, to me, Zeppelin is in a class by itself for classic rock. The Animals are great. And who would dare put the monkeys in the same tier as the Beatles? Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Former teammates go to war at UFC 258 as Kamaru Usman defends his welterweight title against Gilbert Burns, only on ESPN Plus, where you can also find our show and hours of daily sports talk. UFC 258 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV.
Why
are we playing the monkeys? I don't even know. Well, let me explain this simple to everybody, Raj. Uh-huh. Raj sometimes is my producer in L.A. I'm in New York. These are the COVID days. That's how it goes. And Brendan's in Connecticut. And Raj and Brendan are springing the monkeys on me, and I have no idea why right now. Why?
Well, we were talking. I guess it was before the show. Somehow the Beatles came up. Maybe it was the monkeys. I don't know. Oh, because I heard Brendan earlier on Greeny's show playing the Beatles and how great this song was. And I remember growing up and watching the reruns of that show the Monkees had. And for me, I thought he was playing the Monkees. Like, it sounds the same to me. And yeah. So Keyshawn and I would always say there's no difference between the two. I remember watching the reruns of that show as a kid, and I used to wonder which one on the Monkees was John Lennon. Like, is that John Lennon? Like, I thought it was all the same. And to this day, I don't really tell them apart. This is a great song.
Oh, come on. The Monkees are good. Don't get me wrong. But the Beatles? Come on, Raj.
Yeah, it's just a ridiculous take.
It's two different. But the Monkees were meant to sound like an American version of the Beatles, even though the lead singer is British. But they were meant to sound like, here's America's answer to the Beatles. But come on. The Beatles are a different cat.
Did you ever watch the show? I didn't see the Beatles every Saturday morning.
I did.
Okay, well, the Monkees had a nice, fun show. And I was like, man, that has to be John Lennon, because they never really said their names much. And so I didn't know which one was which.
I don't remember much about it, but I know I watched it. That's like where I knew them from, too. But, all right, listen, we're very deep into...
There's another monkey song. Now you followed up. Back-to-back monkey songs.
Here's the thing. Once you start listening to Zeppelin, this stuff is hard to listen to. Like, I'm not denying the Beatles' influence and everything, but Zeppelin got, like, about 50 songs where you're like, that's got to be a top 10 Zeppelin song, but they're like 50 of them. And I don't know. I like the Beatles. The Beatles are great and everything, but I don't listen to them in my spare time. And certainly not the monkeys. But yes to the Animals. Zeppelin and the Animals, yes. I like it when it's influenced more by American rhythm and blues, right? It gives it a better sound. Andre in Massachusetts is on the line, Raj. We haven't heard from Andre in a minute. What's up, Andre?
How you doing, Max? Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to chime in briefly on the Nets defense. I think you bring up a good point with DeAndre Jordan, two-time All-NBA first-team defense, led the league in rebounds twice. I think the Nets defensive issues are overblown, particularly with KD coming back. But I don't think they're going to be able to beat teams like Philadelphia if they don't, as you said, circle the wagons and get these defensive issues behind them. But they do have the junkyard dogs. Shout out to Amon Shumpert, Noah Vonleh, with KD coming back to hold the line.
Andre, you make a very good point. Andre usually makes good points. We have three regular callers who generally make good points, and Andre in Massachusetts is one of them. And the weird thing is two of them have accents that say they're not from where they claim they're from. But anyway, Andre makes a good point. It's not that the defensive issues are overblown, because if you have the worst defensive efficiency per 100 possessions of all time, that's a problem. No team has won a championship in the NBA in 20 years that's ranked lower than 11th in defense. You got to be an upper third team, basically, to win the championship, and they're the worst of all time. But here's where Andre has a point. Kevin Durant, when fully healthy, is an exceptional defensive player. Long arms, almost 7 feet tall, great wingspan, very coordinated, willing to defend. He became a great defender at one point. And when high leverage moments, Kevin Durant can be a legit great defender. Guards every position, really, if he wants to. Kyrie Irving's capable of playing defense. He just frequently seems uninterested. And it's not disinterested, everyone. Disinterested is what a scientist is. That means objective. It's uninterested. He seems uninterested. James Harden is not a great defender, but he ain't a bad one. His post defense is very good, and he's worked a lot on his defense, and I wouldn't say he's a substandard defender. So that's three guys right there, all capable defenders. DeAndre Jordan, at his best, is a very good defender. So yes, the possibility is in there. Chris in Pennsylvania, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max.
I'm great.
I'm glad Tom Brady won that Super Bowl. So that way, these football fans can frown on the whole Patriot way, Bill Belichick narrative.
I'm
really glad. Yeah. So,
By the way, I'm one of those people who thought the Patriot way worked, but at this moment, the latest evidence suggests it was a lot of Tom Brady, and I'm shocked by that. Not that I didn't think he contributed to it, but you know, and Brady set himself up lovely with the Bucks. But he didn't just make the playoffs and win a game. He won the Super Bowl year one. Another OT game for LeBron and the Lakers coming up. Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.